many blessings to you all, and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Mark 12:18-27. The Gospel according to St. Mark chapter 12, verse 18-27. Then the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. "Teacher," they said, "Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife but no children, the man must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first one married and died without leaving any children. The second one married and married the widow, but he also died leaving no child. It was the same with the third. In fact, none of the seven left any children. Last of all, the woman died too. At the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her?" Jesus replied, "Are you not in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God? When the dead rise, they will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Now about the dead rising, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the burning bush, how God said to him, 'I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living.' You are badly mistaken." My theme for reflection is alive to the living God. Alive to the living God. A child once asked, "If everyone lives again, will heaven have family WhatsApp groups too?" The question is charming and not far from the puzzle the Sadducees place before Jesus in Mark 12:18-27. They present a clever scenario to mock the resurrection, reducing eternity to the logistics of earthly marriage. Their real problem, Jesus insists, is not intellectual sophistication, but spiritual blindness. They know neither the scripture nor the power of God. The Sadducees deny angels, the afterlife, and the resurrection. They read Moses narrowly and faithlessly. Jesus answers by widening the horizon of hope. Resurrection life, he says, is not a mere continuation of earthly arrangements. It is a transformed existence, like angels, where love is not diminished but perfected, where intimacy is not erased but fulfilled beyond possession. Then he anchors his argument in the very Torah the Sadducees claim to revere, citing Exodus 3:6. "I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." God names himself in the present tense to patriarchs long dead. Therefore, they live. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Scripture, interpreting scripture, deepens the claim. Isaiah sings, "Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy." Isaiah 26:19. The prophet's hope meets Jesus' proclamation. The covenant God who creates and redeems also restores and raises. The resurrection is not a sentimental add-on to faith. It is the inevitable outworking of God's living relationship with his people. What resolves the problem then is not philosophical speculation, but the character and power of God. Jesus reveals a God whose covenant love outlasts the grave. The future he promises is not less human, but more fully human, recognizable, glorified, and imperishable. We will not be less ourselves in resurrection. We will be our true selves, healed and whole, freed from decay and fear. This speaks directly to our present anxieties. We often live like practical Sadducees, clinging to what we can quantify, organizing life around the temporary, fearing that love, purpose, and identity end at the grave. Jesus invites us to a braver imagination. As Karl Rahner wrote, the Christian of the future will be a mystic or he will not exist at all. To be a mystic here is not to float above reality, but to live grounded in the living God's power, trusting that his life animates us now and forever. If God is the God of the living, then our discipleship takes on new urgency and new joy. We treat our bodies with reverence, knowing they are destined for glory. We love one another with courage, knowing our bonds are not erased but transfigured. We endure grief with hope, knowing death is a doorway, not a wall. And we worship with expectancy, knowing the last word belongs not to decay but to resurrection. In Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob becomes our God too, naming us, sustaining us, and promising a future where life, not death, defines the final chapter. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, in what ways might I be living as if this life is all there is, rather than trusting the God of the living? Number two, how does belief in the resurrection reshape the way I love, forgive, and invest my time today? And now, our practical exercise for the day. Write a short note or prayer of hope for someone grieving a loss, affirming God's promise of life beyond death and your commitment to walk with them in hope. Living God, you who called Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob by name and keep your covenant forever, renew our trust in your power over death. Lift our vision beyond what fades and anchor us in the hope of resurrection. Teach us to live bravely, love deeply, and hope steadfastly until the day we rise with Christ in everlasting joy. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.